Praise God. You enjoying yourself?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, me too. Someone said to me in the vestibule, well, a few more minutes and it'll be over for you and you can enjoy the camp. And must have been someone that knows how nervous I get. But I said, I'm enjoying it all anyway. Praise God. And it's just wonderful to be here and to enjoy your fellowship and the fellowship of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, I said something yesterday about my mouth has always been my problem when we was talking about Job and different things. And so I want to kind of make amends for something I said yesterday before we get into the message. And I made a reference yesterday that I better stop what I was doing there before I made the pastor nervous. And wasn't that my subject matter would have made him nervous. It was the fact that if I start shotgunning and go all over the place and get way off in an area that I wasn't brought here to be in, then that makes people nervous. Amen. So I wanted you to know that I wasn't saying that I was in an area that Jeff wouldn't agree with or anything like that. Sometimes you, your words come back to you, you know, when you get over to the room. And so wanted to make that clear. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get right at it. I'll take my watch off and set it over here. I guess that clock's still not working, or is it? I don't know. You know, there's a little boy that used to go to church with his grandma all the time, and he watched the pastor do that every Sunday. Take that watch off, set it over there. And finally one day he said, Grandma, what does it mean when the preacher takes his watch off and sets it over there? And she said, nothing, son, absolutely nothing. Amen. Amen. So, you know, but we try. Amen. We try. We are going to look at a subject today that is very mechanical. I almost hesitate to bring it and yet feel constrained of the Spirit to bring it. I've shied away from this type of teaching over the last 4 years because I felt that it was just a little bit maybe too practical. Now, we want nuts and bolts and that type of thing, but thinking, you know, these things are so simple that, well, what did Brother Branham say about water baptism in the name of Jesus? He said it's so obvious, it's so evident, it's so simple, amen, that you'd have to be clumsy enough to trip over the flowers in the carpet to miss it. Amen. And so half of this message today I feel is in that category. And when I see some of you yawning and looking off to each side, I'll know that that's true in your life. But there may be someone here that just has never thought of this simple little thing that might help them overcome in this area of debt. So I've divided this message into kind of two parts. And we're going to talk a little bit about debt and why we're in debt, and then we'll go to the remedies for debt. So if you'd like to stand and open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. And I want to read verses 6, 7, and 8. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. We must support the government of our land. Amen. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the great honor that it is again today to be called upon by you to address this portion of your bride. You spoke to my father-in-law when my wife was only 13 years old and was dying of pneumonia. And you told him, "Fear not, she shall not die, she shall live. And she shall live to marry a man that will preach my word to my people." Now, God, I was nothing but a drunk when she married me. But you knew what I really was. And you knew the desire in my heart. Hallelujah. And that prophecy, that word has come to pass. And I believe that I am standing here this morning, Father, before your people. Especially after this great message last night. Lord, and the marvelous revelation of who we are and how we got here and where we're going. Hallelujah. And so, God, anoint me today. Without you, I am nothing, and without you, I can do nothing, but through you, I can do all things. And I know that you're here and you are the anointed one. So bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Phillips translation of the scripture I've just read says, "Keep out of debt altogether except that perpetual debt of love which we owe one another." Another translation says, "Owe no man nothing, no nothing at all." Another translation says, "Don't run up debt." Another translation says, "To no man owe anything." Another translation says, "To no one nothing owe." Another translation says, "To no one anything owe ye." Another translation says, "Stop owing even one person one thing." Stop owing even one person even one thing. Now, it's obvious from this scripture that we're talking here not only about honor and respect, but we're talking about money. We're talking about finances. Amen. I believe that God wants his people being the head and not the tail. I believe he wants his people lending and not borrowing. Amen. And I do not believe that it is a great, tremendous testimony for you and I to live our entire Christian life here in debt. I don't believe that brings any glory to God. When our nose is to the grindstone all the time, when we run out of money before we run out of month, and we make all the same kind of jokes that the worldly man makes about not being able to make it, not being able to pull both ends together, I don't believe that that is glorifying the God of heaven. Amen. Now, if the cattle on the thousand hills belongs to him, and the silver is his, and the gold is his, and all of this great expanse here is his. Now, I realize that Adam forfeited his lease. You hear me? And I realize that Satan has had 6,000 years now to make his Eden. Praise God, I know all of that. But behind that all is still God. Amen. Hallelujah. And when God has all of these resources, when God gets ready to lay some street in heaven, amen, he paved it with gold. If he makes it a wall, he makes it out of precious jewels and stones. Amen. God is an extravagant God. Do you hear me? He's not a wasteful God, but he's an extravagant God. Amen. He's a God not only of enough, but he's God of more than enough. Hallelujah. And yet we go through life under this load of debt all the time. Burdened down. Woe is me. Never able to do anything. Never able to have any breathing room and everything. I don't believe that God is pleased with it, but it's not God's fault. Consider your ways. Amen. God can't help it that you spend more than you earn. God can't help it that you don't have the patience to wait on things and everything. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. That's not God's fault. That's your fault. That's my fault. Amen. But I really believe with all of my heart that God would like to see us come up a little higher than the circumstances that most of us live under today. Amen. Now, how many understand what the cosmos is? It's the world system. Amen. Now, the voice of the cosmos, that world system, tells us, embeds in us, ingrains in us, in America at least. I'm kind of forgetting that I'm preaching to people from all over the world here in this particular meeting. But here in America, that cosmos teaches us and tells us that our economy can only prosper on a system of credit. It's the only way the economy can prosper is on a system of credit. It tells us that we cannot survive on the profit motive alone, or the profit margin alone. Right. Understand profit margins? Yeah. Amen. Buy wholesale, sell retail. Amen. Praise God. Build a product for X number of dollars, sell it for X number of dollars more. What the difference is your profit. Now, the cosmos said we can't live on just the profit. We must have credit in there also. Amen. Okay, I have a quote. You ready? Amen. Not from the prophet. Still ready? Amen. Amen. The average American is someone driving on a bond-financed highway, in a bank-financed car, fueled by credit card-financed gasoline, going to purchase furniture on the installment plan in order to put it in his savings and loan financed home. Amen. Can anybody here identify with that? Amen. They say that's the average American. Well, I say to our consternation that that also fits the average Christian. Amen. We have just fit right in to the cosmos, right in to the world system. Amen. Individuals in America are in debt a record amount. And because they are in debt a record amount, amen, bankruptcy filings are also in record proportion. I mean, you can't hardly keep up with it in the court system today, the bankruptcy filings. That's the individuals. But what about America? What about our nation? Our nation is a debtor nation. And our nation also is something else that may surprise some of you. Our nation is bankrupt. This is a bankrupt nation. It is a debtor nation. A staggering national debt and a staggering trade deficit. Amen. We are in mega trouble in America in our financial system. I know that others from other places of the world look at us as this bastion of prosperity, and we do have more money and more to spend than most nations do, but it is a house of cards, amen. It is ready to fall and ready to crumble, and because there is no substance behind us. We have nothing to back up all of this phony money that we print and everything. We're in major trouble. You go to an auto agency today, or you go to a real estate office or a building contractor, and you tell them that you have cash. Yeah. Got news for you. They don't want your cash. In my granddaddy's day, they wanted his cash. My grandfather was not a rich man, but he had money in several banks all over town because it could only be insured up to a certain amount, and he had enough to fill up several banks to that amount. My grandfather could not even get a credit card. They asked him if he wanted a credit card at a department store in Salem once, and he said, "What do I need one for?" And they said, "Oh, you may need it for identification or something like that." So he applied for it and was turned down. He had half the banks in town filled with money, but he couldn't get credit because he had no credit history. Now, my granddaddy was debt-free, and my granddaddy was uneducated. He was a Nebraska farmer, and he still just kept plugging away and plowing and planting and starting a little business here and there and everything, and became a wealthy man for his time. He didn't understand financial principles and everything except one: stay out of debt. Now, the next generation came along, my mom and my dad. They were in financial hot water all the time. They filed bankruptcy twice in their lifetime. They had nothing. I remember in my parents' home, there was a bowl, a big porcelain bowl that sat on the kitchen table as you came through the back door of this little farmette they had where they raised Arabian horses. And my dad worked for the post office, and they demanded that he sign up for the payroll savings plan, where they took a savings bond out of his check every 2 weeks automatically. Well, this bowl was the receptacle for the savings bonds. Back then, I don't know how it is now, but back then you couldn't cash them for 60 days. So the savings bond would stay in the bowl for 60 days, then it would come out and be spent. When my parents died, they didn't have one penny of savings. They had been through bankruptcy twice, as I mentioned. They had nothing. They had no comprehension of financial things. And yet just one generation behind that are the principles that we're talking about here today. Amen. You go to the auto agency now, the home builder, they don't want your cash. And I'll tell you why they don't want your cash. I was with an individual here recently that was taking out a mortgage loan. And as we got down to the end of the proceedings at the bank and everything, it was a $120,000 house. And as we got down to the end of the proceedings, he handed him all of the amortization schedules and everything like this and said, that figure down here over the right and the bottom, that's what your house is really costing you. $360,000. Now, I know some of you are going to come to me in the lobby and talk to me about tax breaks, all that kind of stuff. I'm not interested in going off in that direction today. I'm trying to show something else. You see, $360,000. So why doesn't that builder want your $120,000? He'd be crazy to want your $120,000 based on our economy the way it is. You see, because he's going to get the same amount of money out of you on credit as he would if he sold three houses for cash. Amen. Same thing with the car agency. Now, I don't know whether God's going to let me buy a new car or whether he isn't. I've got a three-year-old van that we use for our church work, ministry work. But my personal car is a 1987 Mercury Sable with high mileage on it. And it runs good, but it's getting to that stage, you know what I mean, where this goes wrong and that goes wrong, and you begin to think, and I could go and buy a car. I could buy a car this afternoon if I wanted to. But you see, my money don't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so I'm still in the process of asking him if it's all right. Then if he says it's all right, then I got to find out which one is all right. Amen. My son-in-law, I'm kind of a Ford man, and my son-in-law is a Toyota man. And so last time we were here 8 weeks ago, he started talking to me about the Toyotas. My son and daughter-in-law, they're Toyota people too. And Camry just overtook Taurus as the number one seller in America. And Toyota's a good car. Any Toyota people? I guess we're back here in the middle of Car Town USA. Amen. Nobody talks foreign machines here, huh? Anyway, I went on down and I looked at these Toyotas. And as we're walking back to the office, the man says, "Oh, by the way, now I want you to tell, they can never read me. A car salesman looks for two things. He looks at shoes and he looks at watches." No, that's the truth. That's not a joke. Amen. That's the truth. They're trained to do that. And if you've got an imitation Rolex, don't wear it when you go car shopping. Amen. And I just had plain old shoes on, and I wear a Mickey Mouse watch at home. Really, I really do. Amen. And I get more comments on that, you know. Love your watch, you know. They look and they see the gray head and everything, and they can't believe the guy's wearing a Mickey Mouse watch. But I couldn't afford a Mickey Mouse watch when they first came out, and I'm going to have one now. Amen. Praise God. Prosperity has its privileges, you see. Amen. And I wanted a pedal car when I was a kid, never got it. Couldn't understand why Santa Claus never brought me one. And just so disappointed every year, didn't get a pedal car. You know, this year I got a pedal car. Sister in the church gave me a pedal car. And it's only about this big, but it fits real nice in our curio cabinet and is a nice reminder, you know. And when I graduated high school, I was going to buy an Indian motorcycle. Anybody know what an Indian motorcycle is? Okay. Going to buy an Indian motorcycle. Now, they quit making them in 1948, but I was still looking at them in the shop in 52, 53. And I was going to buy an Indian motorcycle and just bum my way across the country and back. Well, never got to do that. I did end up being sort of a bum, but I didn't have the money for an Indian motorcycle. And so for someday this year, I guess it was my birthday, my daughter and my wife bought me an Indian motorcycle. Now, again, it's only about this big. But that's the neatest little model you ever seen in your life. Everything, the seats are leather, and the saddlebags are leather, and the clutch works, and the brakes work, and it is one fantastic model. Amen. I walk by that cabinet, and I look at that, and it gives me pleasure, and it gives me a blessing. Amen. So I want them to know they didn't waste their money. Amen. I'm really enjoying that. But anyway, I'm going in. I got my Mickey Mouse watch and just my plain old shoes on. So this guy can't read me. And we're heading to the office. And he said, by the way, Mr. Cobb, he said, how do you normally pay for your vehicles? I said, cash. I said, I've got a motto. Now, anybody that's been in this camp knows that motto. If I can't write a check for it, I can't afford it. Amen. Had a preacher come through our place here a while back, and I forgot that he'd been in camp. And I said, I've got a motto. He said, yeah, and I can tell you what it is. And Brother Cobb can't write a check for it. He can't afford it. Amen. Praise God. And he said, well, now that's okay. That's nice. That sounds good. But he said, I'd like to consider another way of purchasing this car if you decide to purchase it. We've got this fantastic finance package on right now and everything, and I think that it would be better for you to consider leaving your money where it's at and financing with us, because you're no doubt drawing a little more interest where it's at than what you're going to have to pay us. And you know something, that's that same spirit that came to Eve.
That's right.
Now that may upset some of you, but at my walk and my revelation, that's the same spirit.
Amen.
It's trying to get me to go back on a commitment that I've made. It's trying to get me to go back on something that I see very clear in the Word of God. Amen. It's trying to get me to give in to the cosmos, to the world system, and be conformed to it instead of being conformed to the Word of God. Amen. So they will try just about everything. Amen. They don't want your cash. Hallelujah. Now, what I'm going to say today about getting out of debt, you don't have to believe in being debt free. And I see our crowd's a little smaller today than it was yesterday, and I announced the subject yesterday and everything, so maybe that's an indication. But you don't have to believe in being debt free, nor do you have to desire to become debt free. Amen. You can continue on. If you've got a load of consumer debt, you can continue on in the way that you are going for as long as you live every remaining day on the face of this earth. I'm not going to tell you that it doesn't matter to me, because it does matter. I wouldn't be up here preaching this if it didn't matter. But I'm going to be perfectly blunt and frank with you and just hit straight from the shoulder. You can do what you want to do. In fact, you're going to do what you want to do. Amen. It'll all be determined by your desire. And if God should change that desire today, then I'm going to give you some tools to get out of debt and stay out of debt with. Amen. And God bless you for that. But for me and my house, God motivated me to become debt-free. Amen. And he motivated me to incline my ear to his sayings. And as I inclined my ear to his sayings, one of those sayings was, "Owe no man anything." No, nothing at all. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to get to rents and things like that later on, so don't get stumbled up at this point. And so, as I said earlier, my motto now is, if I can't write a check for it, I can't afford it. And I have another motto now because of that motto: my needs are met and I'm out of debt. And now there's more to put in store. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I'm not paying every creditor in the country. Hallelujah. It might interest some of you to know, although I don't think I have to share this with you, but I still live on exactly the same salary that I've been living on for the last 10 years. And that salary is $250 a week gross. That means I take home $150 every week, $600 a month, take home. Amen. God has blessed me. God has prospered me. But to this point, I haven't raised my wage one penny in 10 years. Now, I'm afraid maybe I'm going to have to this next year. It's getting harder and harder to get by on that. Now, I don't have the same situation you folks have. I'm in the ministry. I came to Ohio to preach this meeting at your gracious expense. Amen. You, through your giving, provided my airplane ticket. I didn't have to buy an airplane ticket out of that $600. You understand that? Amen. I am living much higher on the economic scale than anybody I know that takes home $600 a month. Amen. You see? But we try to keep our own standard of living and everything at such a level that we can take the blessing of Abraham that God channels through us and channel it someplace else. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, what if God was to tell one of you, "I want you to underwrite this camp meeting"? Amen. Or you see that brother there from Peru, or that brother there from Africa, or that brother there, I want you to take care of their expenses. Could you do that? Amen. That's why we keep our standard of living down. Praise God, so we can do those things. Hallelujah, because it's for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It is not to be consumed upon your own lust. It is for the kingdom of Almighty God. Now, let's look at debt. And I went through this 2 or 3 years ago with you in this camp, but not everybody was in that meeting, and not everybody's heard the tapes. Debt, consumer debt. Now, we're not talking about your rent. Not talking about your utilities. Didn't Brother Branham say, we've got to pay our rent. We've got to pay these bills, amen, these things. Not talking about that. Every one of us has to do that. I'm talking about consumer debt. I'm talking about credit card debt, department store debt, all of these things. Debt is like an iceberg. When you're out at sea and someone says, "Look, there's an iceberg," what do you see? You see this icy thing floating there? You only see a small portion of that iceberg. At least 2/3 of that iceberg is under the surface of the sea. And that's the way debt is. If you see a load of consumer debt on somebody's back, amen, you can rest assured it's only the tip of the iceberg. The real reason for the debt is under the surface, amen. And so here is some of those things that are under the surface, some of the reasons you're in debt. We're going to tell you how to get out of debt, but we're going to show why you're there, first of all. First thing is presumption. Presumption. Taking for granted and thinking that you're going to have a tomorrow to pay off what you couldn't afford today, so you bought it on credit. How do you know what tomorrow will bring? How do you know what next week will bring? How do you know what next month will bring? Amen. Now, there's a woman that lives in the city that we moved from, the city of Salem. Her sorry plight was in the newspapers just before I came here. Her and her husband drove 19 miles down the road, 28 miles from their house to the Ford agency in this one city. No, excuse me, GMC. That don't make any difference. But anyway, they bought a Chevy. They bought a brand new Suburban or something of that category. Very expensive vehicle. They signed the contract on this with very little down because he wasn't earning hardly anything. When I was young and was out buying cars, you had to have a credit rating. I don't know about your area here, but in mine now, there's big ads in the paper. Bankrupt, divorced, out of work, unemployed. Amen. We don't care about it. Come on in. We finance anybody the law allows. Amen. My, what a turnover they must have in their vehicles. So this guy and his wife, they go in and buy this brand new Suburban. They drive it 28 miles home, and 2 hours later, he drops dead of a heart attack. 30-some years old. He signed this long contract, presuming that he had those 5 years to pay for that vehicle. He didn't have 5 hours. Amen. She takes the car back. I want my money back, please. Sorry. You have a used car. 28 miles. Oregon law says anytime a car's driven off the lot after a purchase contract is signed, it's a used vehicle. And they wouldn't give her her money back. So neighbors and officials and everything in the city had to get out a big outcry and everything. And finally, to save their reputation, the dealership took the car back and tore up the contract. Presumption. Didn't God say himself in his word, don't say you're going to go down to another town and work there for a year and make a profit? Amen. You say, the Lord willing, I'm going to do that. Hallelujah. Second reason we're in debt is because of impatience. We're unwilling to save. We have no training in saving. And we're unwilling to wait on God for it. We want it, and we want it now. And some of us are too old for that. I know this is an impatient generation now, but some of us aren't part of that. Amen. And yet we're still acting that same way. Impatience. Another reason we're in debt is greed. Wanting more than God has provided for you. Amen. And let me throw this little sidelight in here now. Do you know what consumer debt says? It can talk. Just like the fig tree. Consumer debt tells everybody around you that God is unable to supply your needs. Amen. He's got to have your help. He's got to have the help of Visa and MasterCard. He's got to have the help of Sears Roebuck Credit Department. Some people live their life on SRC, Sears Revolving Charge. It's never paid off. You know that's true. Amen. And so, greed. Wanting more than your allotted portion in the cycle that you're in at the present time. Amen. wanting more than your allotted portion in the cycle that you are in at the present time. Another reason that we're in debt is unbelief. We just don't have faith enough to believe God to provide for us. Hallelujah. Oh, I could stand here now until the singsuration starts, telling you the way God has provided and the miracles that God has performed. Praise God, because we had faith to believe God for those things. Hallelujah. Another reason we're in debt is because of slothfulness. For those uninitiated in the word, that means lazy. Amen. I got a sloth message that I preach. Haven't preached it for years. Better dust it off again one of these days. Laziness. We're just too lazy to work extra for something. We're too lazy to sit down and come up with innovative ways. You know, the man in Scripture that found this great pearl out there, what did he do? He didn't go down to the Bank of Jerusalem and float alone. He had the gumption to think it through and everything, and he went and sold everything he had in order to go buy something that he wanted. Hallelujah, that he felt was of great price. And one of the last reasons that we're in debt is because we're a prideful people. Pride. We just have to keep up with the Joneses. I don't have to do that. I'm married to Jones. Amen. Took care of that right there. Praise God. Someone else in the church gets something, we got to have just as good, or we got to have better. Don't tell me that's not the spirit of the world, because it is. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that takes care of debt. That's the reason we're in debt. And if any of that touched you today, then praise God, we need to get to work on it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at some practical ways. We're getting into the nuts and bolts thing here now. Very simple things. And let's look at the practical ways to reduce your debt. Now, when I say practical ways to reduce your debt, I'm assuming that you're doing other things that we were talking about yesterday. I'm assuming that you're planting your seed. I'm assuming that you're confessing the word of God over your seed. I'm assuming that you're speaking to the debt. What are you saying to the debt? You're saying everything you can find in the word of God about abundance and prosperity and all of these things. I'm assuming that you're putting those things into operation. And I'm assuming that you're praying to God, asking God for his help, asking him for instruction, asking him for leadership. We need a guide. Hallelujah. And while you're waiting then for your due season, while you're waiting for your harvest, while you're waiting for the heavenly windows to open up, and while you're speaking it and saying it and believing it, because it's going to be speaking to you. Amen. Every day you go out that door, your debt's going to say, well, I'll be here when you get home tonight, brother, and in fact, I will have grown. Amen. I'll be bigger tonight when you get home than when you went to work today. So you got to learn to speak to it. Amen. The things in Scripture that God has said will eradicate that. Amen. So while we're doing all of these spiritual things, there are some practical things we can do. And I told my church, now I preached this 2 weeks ago in my church. I put these messages together at home. I try it out on them before I come. Amen. And I don't see our one family that's here. And Rachel said, I wonder where they're at. And I said, well, they just heard this 2 weeks ago. I doubt if they'll be back for it now. Amen. But anyway, I told them that day, I said, you know, for the last 4 years, I said, this group out in Ohio, they have sent me an airplane ticket. They've sent me money to fly back there. And I said, they give me a very nice offering and everything. And I said, they pay me this money to come back there and speak these things. And don't get me wrong about that. I'd do it free. Did you hear that? I'd do it free. But they know that workman is worthy of his hire. Amen. And but anyway, I said, they give me this offering. They pay my flight and everything. Praise God. And they're waiting for these profound words of wisdom. And I said, so now here is the kind of things that they get. First way to get out of debt is don't add to your debt load. Amen. Stop spending. Now, isn't that profound? Amen. Stop spending. Perform plastic surgery. Some of you would rather have your spleen removed than for someone to cut your MasterCard in two. Amen. And you know why? Some of you like credit cards better than cash because they go so much further. Did you catch that? Amen. Perform plastic surgery. Go on a spending diet. Everybody's always talking about dieting in America. Amen. I'm about the only one in my family that likes to eat in buffets. And I don't know what Rachel's complaint is, but I know what my son's complaint is. I don't think he's here either right now, so... he doesn't like me using him as examples. And I know what his complaint is. He says, Dad, every humongous fat person in town eats here. Amen. He said, it's disgusting to see these people in this spandex. You know what I mean? They look like the Michelin tire man. And you can't even enjoy your food. They're all like hogs in a trough. Have you ever watched them in the parking lot of the buffet? It's almost a foot race. They can't wait to get to the door because they're afraid that something's not going to be there when they get in there. Amen. So everybody's dieting. Trying to slim down. America is a nation of fat people. Yeah. And I'm sure you overseas brethren have noticed that. Amen. But you see, there's another kind of diet we need to go on, and that's a spending diet. Amen. Hallelujah. And so how do we do that? If you don't have a need, don't go looking for something to buy. I am so glad that at this time of my life, I did evangelistic work for the first 10 years of my ministry from age 21 to 31 and had to travel most of that time by myself. Rachel stayed home, took care of the children, kept them in school, all of those things, sold my lawnmower, sold my clothes, all of this kind of stuff in order to put food on the table. I'd come home, the closet would be bare and everything, but you know, she's told me since then, I didn't realize it then, but I know now that's your office. You're the provider. Amen. Didn't need to sell my clothes. Sell your clothes. Amen. I'm not going to sell some trinket of mine. Sell your lawnmower. Amen. It's your office. Hallelujah. So anyway, now when I get to travel a little bit, we don't travel very much, but we get to travel even here and overseas, I get to take her with me. And she has said many times, can we really afford that? Is the Lord pleased with that and everything? I said, yes, the Lord's pleased with that. I said, you stayed home all those years and you suffered through many, many things. And you went through a lot of hard times, and she's no different than any other minister's wife sitting here. I know you've all been through those things, but I said, now God has provided. We've got the empty nest, amen, and we got the money to do this, and I love having you with me. And I said, besides, you're much more popular out there than I am. Amen. I said, when I got you along, I said, people are friendly. Amen. I said, they just, you know, they warm right up and everything. I said, with me, it's a little harder to get to know me and everything. And we got to talking about all of that. And I've said all that and lost my point. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, something to buy. Thank you. I lost my point in New Zealand one day, and guy stood up and shouted out. He said, you're a bad boy. I was talking about my childhood. Amen. So anyway, now, before the plane lands, I say, now, honey, not getting on you. I know that strife kills manifestation. And I'm not trying to stir up any anger or make you think that I'm trying to lord over you, anything like that. But I said, do you know of any needs that you have? She said, well, I don't think so. I said, all right, if we don't have any needs, then let's just not buy while we're here in this town. Amen. Or if we don't have any needs, let's just not buy while we're here in this country. Amen. Praise God. And Jared, the other day, he was with me somewhere, a mall down here or something, and he said, where's Grandma? I said, there's a shoe store down at the other end of this thing. And I said, anytime there is a shoe store, you know exactly where she's at. Amen. But you see, if you don't need something, don't go looking for something to buy. Don't even look at catalogs and direct mail ads that come into your mailbox. Destroy them immediately. Now, this works. It's not revelatory, but it works. Amen. Recently, there was a company, a manufacturing company in this nation that decided to move their manufacturing facilities to a very poor third world nation where the people had almost nothing, just bare existence. And they built this big factory in their area and they hired the natives of that country to work in this factory. And everything was just buzzing along great. It was just going fantastic. And I don't know whether they were paying on a 2-week schedule or a 1-month schedule, but anyway, up came the first payday, and everybody got their checks, and they went off the lot happy and just really content with these checks, with this money in their hand, and that was on a Friday, and next Monday morning when the plant opened up, there was no one there to run it. And that went on for 3 days. No one showed up to work. And so they started going around the land to see what was happening. Is there an epidemic? Is everybody sick? And they said, no, we've got our money. We don't need any more. This will take care of us for months and months and months. And so the brass went back into the boardroom and sat down and they came up with a plan. They printed up catalogs with merchandise. And they had them mailed to every house in that community. And within just a few short days, everyone was back to work. Because all of a sudden they realized that they had more needs than they thought. Amen. All of these pretty shiny things in the catalog that they could buy, and they spent all their money, and now they had to go back and had to earn some more. Throw those ads away. Throw those catalogs away. Don't even look at them. If I'm in a time of my budgeting that I don't have any leeway to buy anything, I don't even let that stuff get to the house. I take it out of the mailbox, and it goes straight in the garbage can before I go into the house. Amen. Throw the ad sections out of the newspaper before you read it. Especially Sundays. Just take them all, throw it away before you ever read it. Learn to be word motivated instead of ad motivated. And I'll tell you something else, brothers and sisters. I've never had a problem with shopping in a state of depression, but a lot of people do. My trouble with depression when I used to get depressed was heading towards the refrigerator. That's why I finally put a plaque on the front of it, a sticker that said the 11th commandment, thou shalt not weigh more than thy refrigerator. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But some people, when they get depressed, amen, they gorge themselves on shopping. Learn to encourage yourself in the Lord instead of J.C. Penney. Amen. It works. Hallelujah. It works. It lifts you up. Glory be to God. And it keeps you out of that depressive nonsense in the first place. Amen. Learn to be content with what you have until you can truly afford something more. Amen. Think of those, your brethren, in far off nations of the world that have very, very little compared to what you have in that state that you think you have needs. You don't know what needs are compared to some of our brothers and sisters around the world. Amen. When I used to get almost nuts living in this little tiny house that we lived in for 25 years, and you couldn't even open a closet without everything tumbling out into the hallway on the floor. And there's no vacuuming. Don't worry about vacuuming under the beds. You can't, because everything's stacked under there too. And every little nook and cranny is filled with something. And I thought, we can't live this way anymore. And then someone would come through and they'd have a story of someone in India or someplace that was living 10 or 15 people in a room about the size of our living room. And I just dropped to my knees that night with tears and say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for ever, even entertaining a thought of not being content with what you've given me here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Pay cash for everything that you buy. Amen. Cash your check, put it in your wallet. What? Uh-huh. If I've got $200 or $400, if I put it in my wallet, I can see how it's dwindling every time I take a 5, a 10, or a 20 from it. If I put the $400 in the bank and use my plastic, it has no effect on me at all. Amen. So learn to pay cash for everything that you buy if you're having a debt problem. Now, I don't do that because I'm not in debt. I don't have a debt problem. I use a credit card for almost everything I buy. And the reason I do is because I get a frequent flyer mile for every dollar that I spend. You see, and even what limited flying I do and everything, I think I'm up now to maybe somewhere 12, 13 free flights. And that's an average of about $500 a flight. It pays me to use my card, but I pay it off every 30 days. I never pay a penny interest. Amen. I have control. Amen. I have a whole wallet full of credit cards as I'm preaching to you today. I opened it in one restaurant one day and the guy said, oh, plastic man. Amen. You see, but there's not a card in there that has the power to tempt me. Because I just don't have to worry about that anymore. But if you have that worry, pay cash. Amen. All right. 25 minutes. Establish a written budget. If you want to get out of debt, establish a written budget. I'll tell you, it'll help you plan your spending patterns. And I'll tell you something else it'll do. It'll help you analyze where your money's going. You'll be able to really see where the money's going. And something else that a written budget does, it's a great bridle, a great braking system for impulsive spending. You're not near as apt to continue to listen to that pitch man on the phone or on the doorstep or something like that if you've seen it right out in front of you and know what kind of disaster it's going to bring to you if you give in to that thing. Amen. So establish a written budget. Now also, what do you do if you have past due accounts, or you have some accounts that are so far past due that they're now what we term delinquent? Now, I know all about this. You see, Brother Jeff said, listen to gray hairs and the wisdom of age today. Well, you know, that's true, but I could be gray-haired and aged and still be a punk. Amen. Still be a fool. You hear me? Amen. Growing old just in itself, but gray hair with righteousness, amen, and with the Holy Ghost as the guide, then that's a different story. Praise God. And I have been here. I'm talking to you today, not from some seminary teaching or some financial seminar teaching. I'm talking to you from experience. I've been there with those delinquent accounts. I've been there with the bank man on the doorstep wanting the house, wanting the car, wanting this, wanting that. I've been there. And so what do you do when you have those kind of situations with your creditor? You talk to your creditor. You get a hold of your creditor and you talk to your creditor and you make provision with your creditor to do something. Brother Branham said it this way, even if it's just a quarter, you tell him that you're going to pay your bill. You talk to your creditor, you make provision to do something, and then you do it. We need integrity. We need to be people of our word. Our integrity and our image has already been damaged by having a delinquent account. Amen. We've already brought reproach on Christ and his name and the church. Amen. So talk to him. Tell him you'll do something and then do it. The key is communication and action. Communication and action. Amen. And consistent action. Hallelujah. And if you've got a delinquent account now, talk to your creditor about shutting off the interest meter. Do you understand that? Amen. Try to get them to stop charging interest on this account. Amen. You say, well, will they do that? Yes, some of them will do that. And I'll tell you something else. When I was thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in debt and was sitting in a lawyer's office contemplating bankruptcy, once I notified every one of my delinquent accounts, my delinquent creditors, that I had a determination to pay my bill and that every month they were going to see something on their desk from me, do you know what began to happen? Some of them began to telephone me. Some began to write me and say, we've reviewed your case, your account, and we'd like you to know that we're reducing that by 50%. And Rachel would say, is that right to do? We made the bill. Is it right for us to take that? I said, hey, those guys aren't dummies. They know exactly how much profit they charged me in the beginning. They know exactly how much interest they have earned off of me in all of these times that the interest meter's been running. They know that if they get their 50%, they've got their investment back. Amen. And so they're willing to say to me, God bless you, just go your way. Praise God. And we had many accounts do that, many creditors do that, because they saw that there was something there every month exactly like we had committed to do. Praise God. Now, Rachel and I begin our reduction of debt load by concentrating on one creditor at a time. One delinquent account, one overdue account, whatever, one creditor at a time for payoff. Now, we had to pay something to all of them, but we concentrated on one at a time to pay that bill off. Amen. And we started with the smallest one. What seminar did you learn that in? I didn't learn that in any seminar. I am not greatly revelated in a lot of things, but I got that one all on my own. Amen. It was obvious to me that I didn't have $15,000 to pay this guy off. But I could shoot for the 100 that I owed this guy, you see? So concentrate on the smallest one. Start with the smallest one. Then when that's paid off, take that money that you were paying on that and step up to the next one and put it on that. Don't say, praise God, now we don't have that $10 a month bill and everything. We can head to McDonald's again. You see? Don't do that. Take that money now, put it on the next one up. Amen. This is practical, and I'll tell you something else. It's sensible, and what it will do, it will encourage you because you'll begin to see the mountain of debt shrinking. Hallelujah. Now, what if I have two accounts that I owe just about the same? Which do I start with? You start with the one that has the highest interest rate. Amen. Pay off the highest interest rate first. Praise God. I see a lot of wives out there nodding and everything. Some of you would sure like to get your husbands to understand some of this. Amen. Praise God. And thank God for for those that run the house and are concerned with those things, praise God. Thank God for the wisdom that God gives them. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you love him? Something else you can do. While you're working on this debt load, you can find a way to earn additional income. Now, that doesn't appeal to too many. And I understand, brothers, that when you get home from an 8 or 10 hour day shift and everything, I know that you don't have a lot of steam left and everything. But if you're serious about this, then this is a way. This is something that you can do. You can find a way to earn additional income. And when you find that way to earn additional income, you take that entire profit or paycheck or whatever it is, and you put it towards your debt. You don't come in one night, put your feet up on the hassock and say, I've been working all these extra hours and everything. We got this one bill paid off over here, and I've got this money here that's ready to pay off another one, but I'll tell you, I need a reward. I need a new bass boat. You see, and then you're right back in the same old mess again. So if you're working overtime, if you've taken on an extra job, if you've done something like that, take that money, amen, and pay all of it towards your debt load. Now, you've got to be careful that you do this in such a way that you don't hinder your duties to your spouse and to your children. So you can't do this over a prolonged, lengthy time. This cannot become an overall lifestyle. This is something just to take up the slack for a short season while you work on the debt. Do you understand that? Now, they ask Brother Branham, can the wife work outside the home? And you know what he said. He said, I can't speak something where the Word of God speaks something else. But he said, I would feel that if it was an emergency situation. I'm amazed at how many emergency situations we have now. Amen. If it's an emergency situation, if it's to pay off a bill, he said, not once, W-A-N-T-S, not once, amen, but a need. He said, then maybe it might be all right for a short time. Well, you know, sisters, there's ways that you can do that. There's ways you can earn right in your own home. My mother was not a Christian. She knew nothing about Christianity, but she was a mother. And she didn't want to leave us children at home. But my dad never gave her a penny. She never had a dime. And so she began to take children into the home and begin to babysit for them. And she made a very tidy little income right there in the home, never had to leave the home. And we always had Mama there when we came home from school. Amen. I mentioned to some of the sisters in our church, how about ironing? And they say, how about it? It's not a very appealing thing, is it? But you know, there's always a way. Maybe you're a good typist and you got a computer there with a word processing program and everything. And maybe you got a college in town or in the area and everything. Go down to the laundromat and put an ad up there typing term papers. Amen. You see, there's so many little things you can do. And I don't know whatever happened to the Fuller Brush man. He never comes by anymore. But there's always Fuller Brush. You guys, listen to me. There's always Watkins, something like that. Or maybe it's an entire family project. Maybe you've got a table saw, a bench saw, a skill saw, a coping saw, a whole bunch of saws out there in the barn and everything, and you're pretty good at wood and everything. There's things you can make and you can sell at trade fairs, things like that. Some people make a living doing that. Amen. And so there are ways. And listen to me now. You're going to think that you would never hear this out of my mouth because some of you still don't understand my true stand on multi-level marketing. But even multi-level marketing is an answer. If it's the right product with the right company if it's something that can truly benefit and can be sold at a reasonable price, amen, it is a way to make an additional income. And let me throw this into you multi-level marketers while I'm doing it and everything. I can't understand multi-level marketing people. They go into this thing with this hope of having all this additional income and everything, but they never charge a profit for what they sell. They're too timid to ask their friends for a profit. Now, most of you are going to start selling to your family. You're going to start selling to your friends. You shouldn't be anything in anything that stops right there. If you haven't got a product good enough to sell to the general public, amen, that don't know you intimately, then you haven't got a good enough product as far as I'm concerned. You see? But if you're going to sell something, earn something from it. Don't go into MLM thinking it's going to be a way to help you clear your debt load and then be too timid to ever charge anybody for your product. I have a hard time paying people what the product's worth. Now, part of that is because they want to bless me in my ministry. And I can understand that, and I appreciate that. But 9/10 of the people they're selling to can't afford it, so they're giving it to them at cost. I can afford it. Amen. If I want your product, let me pay you for it, please. Amen. Let me pay you for it. Let me be blessed by knowing that you made $20, hallelujah, instead of just giving it to me for what you paid for it and you drove 20 miles to pick it up. Never even figured that in. Amen. Hallelujah. Enough meddling? Must be. Amen. You want to lower your debt? Consider changing your lifestyle. Amen. This is my last service. I can go hide after this. Amen. What do you mean, change my lifestyle? Well, some people that are in debt, they're poor to begin with. But some people that are in debt, they're not poor at all. They just don't know how to manage their money. And they've got too much outgo for income. And so one thing you could consider doing, if you're driving around in a fairly expensive financed automobile, you could consider selling that and buying you a cheap used one until your debt load's reduced. That didn't sound too rational, did it? But it works. Amen. Maybe it's not as comfortable. Amen. Maybe it doesn't have dual climate controls. Maybe you do have to bend over to open the door, the window on the right side. Amen. You see? But praise God. I'd rather be driving my 87 Sable debt-free than a brand spanking new Lincoln or whatever and owe that $43,000 tab. Amen. And be under that load. So consider downsizing. Consider downsizing. Scaling. Consider moving out of that home that's too much for you. Too big, too expensive. Taxes are too much, mortgage is too much. Amen. Consider moving out. Consider selling that and buying something more in the range where you're living right now. Maybe there will be a season for your dream home. Amen. But maybe that season isn't right now. You understand? Amen. Amen. Consider moving out. Consider something lesser. Consider a lesser mortgage. Consider renting. Consider moving in with a relative. As long as it's not a mother-in-law. No, but seriously. We had a situation in our church where a sister in the message and the Lord was married to an atheist, and he finally divorced her and left her with this huge, big, lovely home that was just, it was just more than what she had need of. Well, he also left her with no income, and so she turned it into a elder care facility. And for many years, she made a lovely income and living and didn't have to go out of the house and just did tremendous. But there came a time when she just didn't feel that she wanted to continue on with that. So she closed the elder care facility down, but she still lived in this split level home and everything. We had one family in our church that listened to this preaching and teaching and got inspired to become debt free. And the first thing they did was they went out and they sold their brand new Toyota. Amen. And they ended up with an old 64 Dodge with a Union 76 orange ball on the antenna, the radio antenna. And I don't know, but if there'd have been a law in Oregon about fumes and everything, they'd have never been allowed on the road with that thing. It's one of those cars, you know, that you had to pray to get it started in the morning, and then once you were going, you had to pray to get it stopped. Amen. But now they didn't owe a car payment. And this one sister in the church saw what they were trying to do, and they were running 2 or 3 months behind on their mortgage payment and everything, and really it was either a case of sell or be thrown out. And so they sold while they could. They took what profit that they had and they paid bills with it. And this sister allowed this family to move in to the lower level of her large home. Now, that's not ideal. And that's not the utopia. That's not what we're shooting for. We're talking about some Band-Aids here. We're talking about some Mercurochrome. Amen. We're talking about some radical surgery just for a season. Amen. And they were allowed to stay there until they could get their finances together and everything, find a nice little house off on the other end of town. Praise God. And that family remains debt free to this day. They haven't got back into another mortgage at this time. But they love the little place that they're living in. And praise God, it's just worked really wonderful for them. And it's just great to see them be able to walk around with their shoulders squared because they're not under this heavy load anymore. Amen. So, learn to buy used and learn to be content with used instead of new. Hallelujah. Rediscover the Salvation Army. Rediscover the Goodwill. Rediscover new to you. We had a minister and his wife through a few weeks ago, and we'd never had them in our church before, and so I didn't know them that well personally. You would know the name if I said it here, but I haven't asked them if I could use this, so we'll keep it a secret. And I was supposed to meet them at mid-morning to take them to lunch and take them around and everything. And we went to their motel, and we called and called and called, and we left notes in the door and everything. And it was 2 or 3 hours later that they got back, and she said, you just have to excuse us. She said, first thing I do every city that I get to is I look for the thrift stores and these things. And she said, do you know what? You've got a Goodwill superstore. I've never been in a Goodwill superstore. Well, I've never been in it either. I didn't even know it had been built. It's about 15 miles from us and everything. But her husband spoke up and said, oh, we got stuff from all over the country. And said, not only have we got some fantastic buys, but he said, we've made some good money by buying low and selling high. Hallelujah. Finding a market for the things that we find in these places. Amen. So learn to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. I loved the Lord just as much and was just as contented and just as anointed and everything in my 50-cent sport jacket and my $1.98 overcoat than I am now. Amen. Praise God. So what difference is it going to make 100 years from now? Amen. I'm not trying to preach poverty to you. I'm just trying to tell you these temporal things aren't what makes the difference. Amen. And it's not worth being in debt. Praise God. Okay, what about a home mortgage? I'm trying to finish up. I was 5 minutes late yesterday. Maybe I'll use that leeway again. Amen. What about a home mortgage, a house mortgage? When we talk about debt-free, this always comes up. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other about you having a house mortgage. That's up to you, and you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You have the guide in you. I'm just going to tell you that when Rachel and I committed to becoming debt-free, I didn't have the faith to be able to believe God that my house would ever be paid off before the 30-year mortgage ran its course. And I would say to you on any item in the realms of God, stay within the limit of your faith. That's where we get in trouble, and that's where we cause reproach, is when we step out beyond the limit of our own faith. Amen. Right now, I don't have the faith to walk across the Willamette River in our city. Amen. I don't have the faith for that. And if I announced in the paper that I was going to walk across the Willamette River and I drew a crowd down there and I stepped out and just all you saw was bubbles, amen, what a reproach that would be. But there may come a day that God will transport me across that river. Amen. Amen. And there may come a day I'll walk on that river. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be out there under the fullness of this third pole ministry and in the last days and everything. Praise God. But I know I don't have faith for it now. Amen. I didn't have faith for this mortgage. But as my mountain of debt got smaller and smaller, as it began to get littler and littler, and I began to see it going closer and closer to being cast into the sea, you know what was happening? Faith was starting to grow in my heart that God could do the same thing for the mortgage. I walked into Rachel one day and I said, guess what? I said, I just have something inside of me. I believe that God can do the same thing for the mortgage. Praise God. And you know what? God did. Amen. Amen. But what we did, amen, we had a 30-year mortgage, and the method we used to start, we didn't just stand up there and say, mortgage, be gone. Amen. The method that we used to start with was every month when we made a payment, we looked on the schedule and found what next month's principal payment would be, and we added that to this month's payment. You can take a 30-year mortgage and pay it off in 15 years doing that. Amen. Saving thousands and thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's what we did. In our case, it was only $20, $25 a month. We wrote a 30-year mortgage and was amazed to find out that the first month we made our payment, $1.98 went on the principal. Amen. So you can pay it off early. We paid ours off 10 years early. We paid it off in 20 years instead of 30 years. Amen. Whoever holds your mortgage can show you several different ways to pay that mortgage down in advance if you want to do it. Because most of them have a clause that says you can pay it early. You should have never signed one that didn't have it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our first house cost us $18,300. And $300 was the amount of the down payment. We didn't have $300. The man that built the house loaned us the $300. Took him about 5 years to get that back. Amen. But the house we just finished building 2 years ago cost a lot more than $18,000 because things have went up since then. We still live in a median priced house. Our house is $2,000 under the median for our area. You understand what median is? If I had a house that was exactly on the median, it means half the houses in the area sell for more, half the houses in the area sell for less. I'm comfortable with that. Amen. That's temperance and moderation to me. Praise God. This house cost a lot more than that, and we moved in not owing a penny. Not owing the down payment, but not owing a penny, every dime of it paid. You see, your faith grows, and favor grows, and the blessing grows, hallelujah, if you do things right in the sight of God. Now, should I use savings to pay off my debt load? First of all, most of you that are in debt don't have any savings. And we are a country that don't know how to save. But some people do have savings. My advice is this: don't ever use all of your savings to pay off your debt. And the reason is that I believe you should have the equivalent of 2 or 3 months' salary, wages. Let's say you earn $2,000 a month. I think you should have $4,000 to $6,000 in a savings account, strictly for emergency situations. Amen. Now, what happens if you take that $4,000 and you pay your debts? Then some emergency comes up. You got to turn right around and go in debt again because you don't have any way of taking care of that emergency. So my advice is don't use that savings unless it's above that 3 or 4 month, that 2 or 3 month level. Bankruptcy. Should I file bankruptcy? This is Brother Cobb speaking. It's not William Branham. But my advice to you is don't even consider it. And I'm going to give you some hard-hitting reasons why. You made the debt, you pay the bill. You entered into a covenant with a creditor. Keep your word. Show some integrity. Show some character. Amen. And now I'll give you a scriptural reason. Psalms 37:21. The wicked borrows and does not pay back. I don't want to be in that company. Amen. I'm not the wicked. I'm a son of God. Amen. I'm a brother to Jesus. Amen. I'm a chip off of God. Remember last night? Hallelujah. I'm a Messiah. Glory be to God. I'm a believer. I'm not wicked. Amen. The things I do please God. Hallelujah. He delights in me. Glory be to God. He delights in you when you show character and integrity. You made the bill, pay the bill. Don't even consider bankruptcy. It's the cosmos system. It's not God's system. Be consistent. Amen. If you make the decision to do these things and you come through some of these things we talked today, be consistent, stick to it, don't give up. You will be tempted to give up. You'll be tempted to just forget it. You'll be tempted to just let your canoe paddle downstream with everybody else. It's easy to paddle downstream. It's not easy to get your boat turned around and paddle upstream again. And once you try to get that boat turned around paddling upstream, there's going to be plenty of people that are coming downstream telling you why you can't go upstream. Go upstream. Do it God's way. Hallelujah. Stick to it. Be committed. Amen. Be consistent. Don't stop until you reach your goal. Amen. Getting out of debt isn't easy. If it was easy, everybody in this auditorium would be out of debt. It's not easy. Amen. It's not simple. Amen. It's hard work. Praise God. But there is a blessing and there is a freedom that you'll experience. Amen. That makes it well worth your effort. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I know what it is to be born again, and I know the freedom that comes with that. Amen. I know the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I know the revelation of this end time message and the excitement and everything that goes along with that. But I never experienced being completely and totally free until the day I became debt free. And that experience ranks with all the other great events in my life. Hallelujah. It does. Might sound crazy to you, but it ranks right with all of the other major events of my life. Hallelujah. I can't tell you What a tremendous thing that it is, and what a tremendous freedom that it is, I haven't got words. Work towards it, get into that situation yourself, and then you'll meet me at camp someday and say, I know what you were talking about. Hallelujah. Praise God. My needs are met and I'm out of debt. My needs are met and I'm out of debt. Hallelujah. And now there's more to put in store. Praise God. I wouldn't have it any other way. There's not a salesman in here good enough to tempt me with one thing that I don't need and that I don't have the money to buy. I gathered my family together and I told them, you might as well just mark this down in your little black book. Now, my granddad said, you might as well put this in your pipe and smoke it. You might as well write this down in your little black book. You're never going to be able to tempt me again to go beyond our budget. Never going to be able to tempt me again. I don't care. I don't care how much you beg. I don't care how much you cry. I don't care how good it sounds. If we can't afford it, we're not buying it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And guess what? My kids didn't get deprived. When one of my kids needed $3,300 for tuition to private Christian school and everything, and we're pastoring this little congregation of 20 people, some guy motors up in front of the old rented church one day, comes in and listens to the message and comes up afterwards and says, bless God, I haven't heard anything like this for I don't know how long and everything. He said, I don't have a church. I haven't been going to church anywhere and everything. He said, would you take this $4,000 off my hands? Amen. Hallelujah. Every time we had a need, God was there. Praise God. Hallelujah. We didn't have to go into debt. We didn't have to write a contract. We didn't have to get the Visa card out. God was there all the time. Amen. Praise God. I love you. Amen. I pray to God that there was something here today that will help you and inspire you a little bit. Oh my. Praise God. Sometimes I get to where I'm almost ready to explode because I get to thinking, I wish there was somebody somewhere that knew I can preach something else but finance. Amen. Thank God Jeff let me out the chute Sunday and I got to preach more of a faith message, you know, and everything. But sometimes, you know, people look at me like I'm the minister of finance. And I realize there's so much more to say and everything. And I know you have other needs, but I just pray that us being here and allowing God to channel and flow through us has touched you in some manner, in some way. Amen. God bless you. Brother, pastor, if you want to come, we'll turn this back to you. Praise God. And again, I never dreamt I'd be here 4 straight years. I've always told Brother Jeff, now look, don't you ever let the fact that I'm your father-in-law influence this in the least. If you want to change directions in some of these meetings or you want somebody else, fine. Praise God. That wouldn't bother me a bit. I've been beyond that for a long, long time. Amen. And everything. And it's just been a tremendous privilege to come 4 straight years. And I wanted to tell Sister Debbie over here something. I am not a morning person. I do a lot of my best study and everything between 12 and 3 a.m., you know, and that type of thing. That's one virtue I haven't tapped in on yet is this 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning getting up. So morning services, they present a little special problem to me. But I come in here this morning and I said to somebody, I said, boy, that piano player got up early. Amen. I don't know whether you noticed what was coming out of that apparatus today or not, but it blessed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thought I was, I'll tell you. I had to look around. I thought I was back in A.A. Allen's tent. Amen. Praise God. And it just lifted me up. Glory to God. And just put a little charge in me. Hallelujah, kind of really woke me up. You know, I tried to start praying around 6 a.m. For these services and everything, but just really got me awake, and I'm enjoying this. And I'm looking forward to the sing today, aren't you? Praise God. God bless you. Hallelujah.